Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. The complete Jewish Bible, I read and study from the King James Version. I believe that God has protected. I was talking to an atheist attorney friend of mine years ago, and he said, Stephen, he was not a belligerent atheist. He was an inquiring atheist. He was, I want to believe, but my intellect won't let me, a nice guy. And he said, Steve, this is the big problem I have. Which one of the translations are correct? There's so many of them, and him being a legal scholar, that was a problem for him. I said, James, just pick me a Bible, and I'm going to preach to you salvation. Some of the verses, some of the translations are not as good as others. Some of them delete portions. I like the King James. It stays very close to the original. But I also search all the other translations so that they can exacerbate, so they can enlarge what I already know. And so the complete Jewish Bible, this text reads this way. Instead of being watchful, it says, wake up and strengthen what remains before it dies too. For I have found what you are doing incomplete in the sight of my God. You may be seated. This is an amazing, amazing verse. And it is written just for our times. The church is under attack. And the church, in its eagerness to reach the world, compromises. There are compromises in presentation and form that you can make. But if you compromise in the Word of God, or you compromise in the Spirit of God, you're like the runner that arrived first. And he said, what happened? He said, I don't know how, I'm just here first. He didn't have a message. If the church does not have a message of deliverance and separation, if we don't preach the gospel, no matter how much our effort is expended, we have failed the task. And so there are a number of churches today that are just totally taking themselves out of the equation. But there are great churches that are still preaching the word of the Lord. So this is a great text. Let's look at the last part of this text first. For I have found thy works, and I have not found thy works perfect before God. If you just have a negative mindset, you know, a lot of things when you study the Word of God, it's not just what is written, it is your mindset. What do you have a propensity? I remember somebody that I knew that every time I would go to their house, they would always have the negative verses out and underlined. They lived in that fear that everything was always going to be doom and gloom. But I choose to look into the Word of God to find my encouragement, my faith, and my strength. So when I look at this, what could be interpreted as a reprimand, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. You know, it looks like God would look at you and say, look, you're not perfect. You've made lots of mistakes. What you're doing is not right. And so I wash my hands of you. I just quit on you. That's what the last part of this seems to say, but you have to put it in the context of the whole verse. He said, you're not perfect. You've made mistakes. You've lost a lot. Things have died. They've slipped away. But he said, I didn't give up on you. I'm giving you this call. It's time to wake up. And so I want to talk to you for just a very few moments here on wake up and use what you have left. Wake up and use what you have left. What he is saying when he said, I haven't found you to be perfect. He said, you're not perfect. You've made a lot of mistakes. The reason why you're in the shape you're in is your fault. You know, we don't like to take that responsibility. We like to blame everybody. We blame the school system. We can blame the church. We can blame our family. We can blame our past. Just blame a lot of people. But at some point in time, we have to take responsibility and realize the Bible said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And so God is saying, it's your fault. You're incomplete. You've made a mistake. You've lost some things. You let some things die. You let some things slip. But he said, I'm not through with you. You see, that's what I love about God. God knows the intent of my heart. God knows that I am not perfect in obedience. God knows that I'm not perfect in performance. But God knows this, that I have a heart after Him. God knows that. And so I'm here to tell you that some of my greatest miracles have come out of my mistakes. Because God is so great and God is so gracious. He even takes my mistakes and reforms them, refurbishes them, reconstructs them, and something good comes out of it. And so God said, you've lost some things, you've let some things die, and the things that you have remaining are about to die. But He said, I want you to wake up. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that it's not over in your life. You say, man, I wished I had some of the things that I'd made mistakes in the past. You know, I've done some great financial things in my life, but I can look back and say, man, if I'd have done this, how much better financially would I have been? Oh, I could have made this deal. I made a mistake. But friend, God has not forsaken me. Even in my mistakes, God says, wake up, because you've got some things left. And anything in God's hands, number one, can be a miracle. Number two, it can be multiplied. And so even though you might be on your second marriage or even a third marriage, it's not over. Even though you let a good business opportunity slip away, it's not over. Even though you have not been spiritually acclimated as you should have been, it's not over. God is saying, I'm not quitting. I'm still striving with you, and I'm just asking you to wake up. To wake up to the fact that you have something that I am going to use. Your mistakes don't disqualify you. We lost something, and if we had made different choices, we would not have lost it. But all hope is not gone. Wake up and recognize that God is still on your side. That God is still with you. Number two, strengthen what you have left. Acknowledge that God has given you a seed of victory and it's still there. Number three, what you are doing is not working. You have to recognize that sometime. You know, I used to go to these little churches and I traveled in a lot of them. And it was amazing to me how tragic they were. They really were. Not many people there. Their worship was not really very potent. It was just kind of a charade in what a church should be. But you know what they would do? They wouldn't improve what they were doing. They would just add to it. We've decided that. I don't know a service. I know a church used to have a Tuesday night service, a Thursday night service, a Saturday night service, and two on Sunday morning. And not one good service in the whole bunch. I used to say, why can't they cut out some of these services and concentrate on having at least one great service where everybody comes and worships God together? But sometimes we've got to realize that what we have lost is our fault. And we got to take responsibility for it. And we have to realize that what we are doing is not working. That's a hard thing for us to do because we just want to do the same thing over and over and over. Who was it that said, you know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result? Well, sometimes you have to just acknowledge what I'm doing is not working. I've got to wake up to the fact that my mistakes are being repeated over and over and over. And now I've got to ask God to insert Himself into my life. You know, God is a gentleman, and He will not come unless you allow Him to come in. If God was just an ogre that just forced Himself, this whole world would be a better place. But God said, I'm going to allow you to make the decision. He said, I'll set it out there, the blessing and cursing, but you're going to do the choosing. And so you have to realize, this is not working, and so I'm going to quit doing this, and I'm going to inquire of the Lord what I need to do. I'm reminded in the Bible of the story of the widow. And this widow had been married to a prophet, an amazing man of God, apparently. But now she's got two sons. She's deeply in debt. All of her credit cards are maxed out. She can't get a bank loan. She's a single mother. She doesn't have a job. We've got a person in the White House that's not giving us what we want. She is totally destitute. And in the midst of that, she cried unto a prophet. She said, you remember my husband? He was one of your peers. And when he was here, we had much and we're down to nothing. What she's saying is, I've lost some things. She didn't want to blame herself. She wanted to blame the fact that her husband had died. She wanted to blame the circumstance of the moment. And so she said, I need some help. And when we need help, we always think that somebody's going to come in and just give us something. Well, friend, when somebody gives you a gift, it's a wonderful thing. I love to receive gifts. But those gifts cease when they walk out the door. Rather than a gift, I want something. I want that gift that keeps on giving. I want to learn what it is in my life that will replenish itself over and over and over and over again. She was expecting a gift, but she was actually setting her sights too low. My question today is, are you setting your sights too low? Because let me tell you about God. He is an abundant God. He is a faithful God. He is a creative God. You are not about to exhaust the resources of God. You say, well, God's blessed me in the past, but he's not really blessing me like I need to be blessed now. So you think that heaven is filing bankruptcy? You think for some reason grace is now out of fashion in heaven? You think that God can no longer supply every need? He's God from the beginning to the end. He's a major God. And that God is saying to you right now, he said, I'm not proud of you. You have not been perfect in your performance. But he said, I will tell you this. If you will wake up, if you'll wake up to what you have, I'll take what you have and I will begin to multiply it. Ladies and gentlemen, I fully expect before I see Jesus in the rapture or I die and go to heaven, I believe there's going to be a revival in America. You know, there's some churches in South America and Central America particularly that are now running over 100,000 people. There's not such a church in America. In the great United States of America, there's not a church that has anywhere near 100,000 attendees on a Sunday. But you know what I'm believing? I'm believing that before Christ comes, there's going to be lots of churches in America that have over 100,000 people in attendance on a weekend. I believe that's happening. I've not given up on America. You can list all the problems of America, but when you do, I'm going to tell you that my God is greater. And there's a reason why he is long-suffering, and that is because he's waiting for the church of the living God to wake up. It's time for the church of the living God to wake up and realize that we're not alone, that we're not powerless, that we're not without remedy, that we're not without solution. The Lord is on our side. And friend, we need to worship like we've never worshiped. He said, strengthen those things that remain. Do you know how to worship God? Friend, you ought to walk in this building praising God when you come in. We shouldn't have to wait for somebody to sing a particular song that just fits us perfectly. We ought to be able to worship God when there's no music. We ought to be able to worship God when nobody's singing. He said, strengthen the things that remain. Wake up, for all is not lost, because in you is the seed of surplus. Inside of you is the seed of surplus. More than you need. More than you can use. More than you can share. This poor little woman, and she was pitiful. Her sons are about to be repossessed. How poor do you have to be before your kids are repossessed? I don't even know who repossesses kids. I know some people that would like to know that, but the creditors are going to come and they're going to put her two sons in slavery. And so he said, let's just reflect on what you have. He said, what do you have? Her first response was, I have absolutely nothing. You know, that is the devil's remedy for our blessing. That's the way he wants to keep us from being blessed, is to convince you that you have nothing. There's nobody in this building that does not have in them the seed of greatness and surplus and overflow and abundance. All you need is for God to put his hand on what you have. But you cannot expect God to put his hand on what you have until you wake up to the promises of God. That God is a promise-keeping God. That he is a God of yea and amen. That the Lord is on your side. That no weapon formed against you can prosper. That the devil's not big enough to defeat you. That he can paint all kinds of pictures. But the reality is that you were made in the image of God. That the power of God lives inside of you. And the joy of the Lord is there. And you know the word of God. I am not going to succumb to the system of this world. She said, I don't have anything. Friend, that's where you've got to start. You've got to reanalyze your life. and say, I'm not destitute. I'm not a nobody. I've created an image of the living God. I've been born again, filled with God's Spirit, washed in His blood. My name is now recorded in heaven. The angels know me by name, and they hold me reverently, and the devils are afraid of me, and so I'm not going to succumb to what the devil is saying. I'm not going to succumb to poverty. I'm not going to succumb to the attack. The devil's not going to take my children. I receive calls regularly from people that are having problems with their children. And you say, well, I don't know what to do. If you're having problems with your children, what you're doing is not working. It's time to reanalyze. You see, I didn't have a choice when I was a child. We went to church. And we was one of those little churches I was talking about. We went every Wednesday. We went every Saturday night. We went Sunday morning. We went back Sunday night. And we didn't have a choice. And I love sports. And they let me play sports to a degree. But when it interfered with church, guess what? They chose church. My brother-in-law, Brother Keller, told me, he said, you realize what's happened? I don't know what's happening in San Antonio or not having children, young children. But he said, you know what happens in Lancaster, Ohio, where I pastor? He's got a great church there. He said, Wednesday night, we had to give up on it. He said, we don't have a very big Wednesday night because that's the night they practice for and play for soccer. And all. He said, it's gone. He said, you know what they're doing now? From 9 to 12 in Lancaster, Ohio, that's become the big practice time for sports. He said, one of my main families came and said, Pastor, we won't be here the next 5 Sundays because a certain sport has started and we practice from 9 to 12 now, so we won't be here anymore. Friend, at some point in time, we've got to say enough is enough. We've got to say, I know what is important. If you're having trouble with your children, there has to be a reason why. Well, I'll tell you the reason why. The public school system, video games, television, movies, entertainment. Oh, yeah, I understand that. But what is the offsetting answer to that problem? The offsetting is you've got to get them involved in the kingdom of God. We've got to get them involved in the kingdom of God. I don't want to be braggadocious, but I've got 2 sons and both of them involved in the work of God. I've got 2 grandchildren, both of them involved in the work of God. They didn't have a choice. They didn't have a choice. I'm not going to give my family a choice. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. The most important thing we do is worship Almighty God. You say, oh, I'm so proud of my children because they excel in this and excel in that. But are they saved? Are they on fire for the Lord? That's the question you have to ask. You know, I preached a sermon. It's been on my mind for the last 2 or 3 weeks, and I'm not going to preach it. I preached a lot of sermons, and times change. It's amazing how times and cultures change. But sermons that were so effective for me 30 years ago when I was traveling all over this country, if I preach those sermons today, they're not effective at all. Times change. But one of those sermons that I preached was so effective was called The Judgment of Mercy. Here's the thought of that sermon, and that is, if you have children, and you know what's good for them, but what's good for them is not what you is not what they want. And so you just say, well, I know they should do this, but this is what they want to do. I'm going to let them do what they want to do. When they become adults, you have disserviced them because now they are not the adults they should have been. And so when God doesn't judge us, and when mercy just comes along and we can just live any old way we want to, we come when we want to come, we don't come, we pray when we want to pray, we don't pray, we don't live morally, and nothing happens to us. We say, oh, we're getting by. That's the worst kind of judgment there is, because you think you're getting by and you're not. We need to take a new survey of our lives. She said, I've got nothing. What you're doing, lady, is not working. You're losing your boys. Your life is distraught. Your family is destitute because you think you have nothing. I want to tell everybody in this building, there's not one of you that don't have spiritual resources because God has made them available to you. And those spiritual resources are spiritual things, weapons that are not carnal. Friend, if you're not a praying mother, you're not a good mother. If you're not a praying father, you're not a good father. If you're not a church attending mother, you're not a good mother. If you're not a church attending father, you're not a good father. Not only that, if you're not a disciplinarian and you don't disciple your children, you see, Jesus discipled his followers. If you're going to be a good parent, you have to discipline your children. You can't let your children run the household. I really wasn't talking about all of this, but the Holy Spirit's speaking right now. You have to discipline your family. You're the head of that family, father, mother. You've got to say, we are a church-going family. When the lights are on, we're there. We've got people. I was talking about one of the saints, and she's one of my favorite people in this church. I said, I don't think it would matter how many services we had. She would be here for every service. She comes to 9, she stays through 11. She goes to the youth service. Any special service? Friend, there's something about people like that that endear themselves to the heart of God. They love God's house. David said, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And so you say, well, I just don't know what to do. Oh, yes, you do. You have to wake up and embrace the things that were once lost and are gone from you and say, I've got to get on fire again. She said, I don't have nothing. He said, check again. You sure? Oh, she said, I don't have nothing but a pot of oil. That oil was probably a leftover from her husband's ministry where he used it to anoint people, but she placed no significance on it. Friend, I'm going to tell you, if you don't place significance on faithfulness in the house of God, if you don't place significance on prayer, if you don't place significance on the Word of God, if you don't place significance on worship and praise, I can tell you this, that your household is going to be spiritually destitute. But God is saying, wake up to the opportunity. We are here in an amazing building, in an amazing city, on an amazing freeway, in an amazing country, in amazing times, and we have an amazing core group of people. But it's time that Living Way Church woke up and say, look what is here. Look what is available to us. I will not let it slip away. I will pray. I will fast. I will give. I will worship. I'll attend. I'll bring people. I'll love God. I'll set this place on fire. You said, I'm waiting for somebody else. It's only you, ma'am. You know where that pot of oil is. It's up to you to get it out. And it's up to you to obey the Word of God. Through the Bible, there's illustration after illustration where they were diminished. But when they were diminished, they were replenished. And what it means is sometimes there's no avoiding losing things. But when you're losing things, when you're losing friends, how many people have ever lost friends? You say, what am I going to do without them? Friend, you will survive. I promise you that. Bishop Jake said, if they want to go, let them go. There's nothing worse than trying to retain somebody that doesn't love you and doesn't have your back. And so sometimes you feel like the loss, and you say, I'm being diminished. Oh, no, not when God's on your side. You can't be diminished because God will replenish. Friend, I'm telling you to wake up. Wake up to what you have. You have some great things in your life, but you need to exercise them and use them and begin to understand that your best days are yet ahead of you if you'll wake up and not sleep through your dream. Amen? Give God some praise in this house right now. And time again, the Bible gives us illustrations so we'll understand this, that when we lose, it doesn't mean it's the end. It means we're regrouping. It means we're refreshing. It means we're reviving. It means we're getting ready for a better day. That's just what loss is when you are in the Lord. I've lost many things, but look at me today. Here I am, just as fat and sassy as I can be. Praise God, just feeling great about everything, saying the Lord is my strength, and I'm excited about the future, praise God. And now I want to be the most youthful 85-year-old preacher. That's my goal now. When I'm 85 years of age, I want to be a phenomenon. I want people to marvel and say, when's he going to quit? When's he going to fall down? How long is his health going to last? How long is he going to be on fire? Oh, until I see Jesus. I'm not giving in. I'm going on, praise God. But the illustrations are, the Bible's replete with the illustrations about people of loss. In fact, sometimes God orchestrates that. You know, sometimes we try to hold on to things we need to turn loose. You remember the story of Gideon? He came out there with 32,000, but he was surrounded by hundreds of thousands. He complained to God. He said, God, I'm outnumbered greatly. God said, no, you're not. No, you're not. He said, I only got 32,000. He said, let's cut that down. So he gave him a little test, 22,000 left. And he said, now, God, I'm down to 10,000. He said, I can't do it with 10,000. God said, you still got too many. It came down to 300. And God said, now we can win this battle. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you what. You might not have everything you used to have, but you're mean and you're clean and you're trim and you are ready for the battle. And God's got a great harvest for you and the Lord is on your side. And God said, all right, divide them up in companies of 100. 1, 2, 3. And so there's 3 companies of 100. And God said, you take a lamp. And he said, you take a trumpet and you take a pitcher. And you put that lamp inside that pitcher. And he said, at this sign time, you blow that trumpet and you break that pitcher. And when they surround them, just 300 around hundreds of thousands of people, but they fled and they turned on themselves. And God gave them a great victory over the Midianites. They thought they had lost everything, but they were really down to where God could demonstrate his power in their behalf. There's somebody in this building that's lost a job, and you say, I don't know what I'm going to do. It's not important what you're going to do. It's important what is God going to do. For the Lord is getting ready to do something big in your behalf. It's going to be your best job. It's going to be your best opportunity. It's going to be your best family gathering. God's got something he's getting ready to do. And so sure enough, when the right time came, they blew that trumpet, they broke that pitcher, and they let that lamp shine. The lamp is what? The Bible said it's like a lamp under my feet. The lamp is the Word of God. The trumpet is what? It's worship. Friend, when you take the Word of God and you begin to worship around it, hell does not have an answer for that. We don't understand the power of prayer, the power of the Word of God, being able to confess God's Word, doing like Jesus said, it is written. When the devil comes in like a flood, can you just step back and then lunge forward and say, it is written, Mr. Devil, the same God that was with Christ is with me. Praise God. I'll overcome this. I'll be victorious in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So the lamp is the Word of God. The trumpet is our worship. But what's that pitcher? That pitcher is obedience. It is breaking the pitcher. In other words, breaking your own will and say, not my will, but thy will be done. I'm always trying to tell God how to run his business. Jesus didn't say, I must be about my business. He said, I must be about my Father's business. Friend, if you'll quit trying to tell God how to bless you and just let him bless you any old way he wants to. He don't have to bless you on that job. He can bless you on another job. He don't have to bless you with that person. He can bless you with another person. He doesn't have to bless you the way you think it's going to be done. In fact, it'll never happen the way you think it's going to be done. You've got to realize it's time for me to wake up. Wake up to who God is. Wake up to who God is. He's still Almighty God. Donald Trump is not affecting God. Nancy Pelosi is not affecting God. They're not affecting God in Russia or China or Iran. He's God all by himself, and he's your God. He's your God, my God, your God, my God, your God. He's on my side. Hallelujah. Wake up to who God is. Wake up to how powerful God is. Wake up to how much God loves you. Wake up to how God wants to work in your behalf. And then wake up to who you are. Created in his image, redeemed by his blood, filled with his spirit, filled with his word. Praise God. Nothing can stop me. I will overcome. Stand on your feet. Throw your hands up and give God some praise today. I've kind of spit and hollered around here a little bit. But God sent me here with one message. And maybe not for everybody, but for somebody. And that is, you've lost something. And you've let that loss be devastating. But that loss is not to your hurt. If you'll wake up to what God is doing in your life, that loss will be turned around. And what you are to receive will be 1,000 times bigger than what you've lost. Don't give up. Don't stop. Don't quit. Trust in the Lord. Know that God is for you and not against you. Know that God is able. If you're in this building right now and you've experienced some kind of a loss in your life, whether it's spiritual, whether it's somebody in your life, there's nothing more tragic than we lose a loved one. I've been dealing with that with my friends. They've had people in their life have been losing loved ones. Now, you can just go into grief and stay there, or you can grieve an appropriate time, and then you can be like David when he lost his little son. You can get up and wash your face and say, let's go on and be Israel. Praise God. God left you, even though your loved one is gone. God left you for a purpose. And your loved one wants you to go on and be victorious. And so you can't live in the past. Your future is greater than your past. And so you've lost something. And the devil's trying to grind that loss in your brain to where you'll just give up. But the Holy Ghost is in this house right now. And he's saying to you, wake up and strengthen those things that remain. Because God is going to do greater in you than he's ever done before. If you're here in this building right now and this little message has resonated with you, I want you to get out of your chair and walk up here and let me agree with you, praise God, that you've awakened to the possibility and the promise of Almighty God in your life, and something is going to begin to happen, and doors are going to begin to open, and the Spirit of God is going to begin to move, and it's going to be marvelous what the Lord does in your behalf. Becky is singing, I'm through, and I'm getting ready to pray for Brother.